You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, folks, this post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, not quite as lit as game one. On that unfortunate note, welcome to your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Unfortunately, as many of you probably know by now, the Rockets took it on the chin in the fourth quarter Wednesday night, 121-96 the final, outscored by 20 in the fourth quarter. And really, that's the story. It was never pretty for the Rockets. Ryan Anderson started off making seven of his first seven, 18 points to kind of keep the Rockets in there, even though James Harden, 1 of 9 in the first half, 3 of 17 for the game. The Rockets were within 5 points entering the fourth quarter, actually within 3 until the final seconds of the third quarter, but it went against them early in the fourth quarter, and from then on, it just seemed that they knew it wasn't their night. They kind of hit the quit button. That's not excusable, but it is what it is. That's what happened, and so we go back to Houston, 121-96, series tied at one game apiece. First things first, I know it stings a little bit. This was definitely a chance. I said the other night, the reality is that in a series like this, you probably do need to win another game in San Antonio at some point. And so, yes, it stings. You had an opportunity within 3 late in the third, and you let it slip away. So I get the sting. However, the Rockets are still at a tremendous point in this series. They are definitely the favorite. You are now looking at a best-of-5 series with 3 of the 5 in Houston. The Spurs, the Tony Parker injury does matter. A big part of how the Spurs are able to hang around in the first three quarters. There's a big gap between the first three quarters and the fourth quarter. I'll get to why in a minute. But Tony Parker's play in the first three quarters was tremendous. 18 points, 4 assists, 8 of 13 shooting, made both of his threes. The way the Spurs shot the ball early in this game was a huge part of how they were able to stay ahead of the Rockets, even when it seemed like that everything in the game was going San Antonio's way. In reality, the Rockets were right there, and it was just a matter of the Spurs shooting the ball that uncharacteristically well. Now, I know the Spurs for the game shot just 38% from three, which is pretty good, but not extraordinary. But A, they missed a few shots late, and B, they shot 55% overall. So definitely it was a great shooting game, and that actually included a fourth quarter in which they slumped a little bit. They were very uncharacteristically warm to start the game, especially from the perimeter. Danny Green was 50% from three. Tony Parker was 100% from three. Kawhi Leonard was 75% from three. This has all the makings of a desperation game. The Spurs played like it, and credit to them, they deserved the win. There were some awkward officiating calls. We'll get to them in a minute, but I don't want to start with that because this is obviously not about the officiating. Regardless of the calls, the Spurs deserve this win tonight, and so you start off giving credit to them for that. But looking forward, which is what this show's about, we know what happened. It's about spinning it forward. Folks, every game is its own entity. Game 2 is no more important than Game 1 when the Rockets controlled it throughout. So really, you're tied at 1. The Rockets got 1 of the 2 games in San Antonio, and now it's a best-of-5 series with 3 in Houston. Now, in reality, you could win those 3 home games, and that's it. Do I expect that to happen? No. The Spurs are a very good team, even without Tony Parker. They're fully capable of winning a game in Houston. This is where their depth shows up. We saw Patty Mills show a lot more signs of life tonight. I know he had just 7 points, but a couple of those drives in the fourth quarter when he seemed to break Pat Beverly's ankles, that's what he's capable of in a larger role. The Spurs are a deep team. It's not going to be easy for them to withstand an injury to Tony Parker, but they've got a lot of pride, a lot of heart. I think over the course of 5 games now, it's eventually going to catch up with them. But short term, are they capable of getting hot and winning a game in Houston through sheer adrenaline, heart, whatever you want to call it? Sure, of course they are. So that's why I've always taken the approach after game one. I said, despite how good it looked, the Rockets need to win another game in San Antonio to feel comfortable about this series. And I still think that. However, seeing this game tonight makes me very confident that the Rockets can win a game 5 or game 7 in San Antonio if that's what it comes down to. First off, as far as James Harden, we can go back 5 years ago when Oklahoma City beat San Antonio in the 2012 Western Conference Finals when James broke out. It was game 5 in San Antonio on the road where he stole the show. He was the man down the stretch in the fourth quarter, so we've seen him do it there before. But the flip side to this, I mostly liked what I saw from the Rockets mentally tonight. Early on, Harden could not buy a shot. Maybe he was injured. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But 1 of 9 in the first half, 3 of 17 from the game. He couldn't find his shot. Trevor Ariza was 1 of 5, 0 of 4 from 3. Really no one besides Clint Capella. I thought Clint was pretty good in his 25 minutes. He had 14 points. Although Pau Gasol, that was the adjustment that Pop made, putting him in the starting lineup. He had 13 rebounds in his 29 minutes, excuse me. And that was far too much of an edge in the glass. 13 boards for Pau to 3 for Clint. That was a disadvantage. But really, I thought Clint overall was okay. But besides Clint, you look up and down the Rockets roster, really it was Ryan Anderson, maybe Eric Gordon off the bench. He started hot, finished just 6 of 12, which is still pretty good, but he was a team worst, minus 25. And in the fourth quarter, when the Spurs made that run early, it seemed like he couldn't really get anything going. So really, as far as impact, I would say it felt like Ryan was about the most influential there was in helping the Rockets stay in the game. I know Ryan was actually a minus 26, but I don't think that captures his impact at all because he was out there in the fourth quarter when things got crazy. The Spurs started in a 30-5 run, and that'll distort a lot of folks, plus minus to a certain degree. What I liked from the Rockets was that despite the Spurs seemingly making everything from three, Tony Parker, and I'm guessing he's done for the series. We'll see what they say tomorrow, but players like him, they know when it's serious. I would be stunned if we see him again. But Tony Parker shooting 100% from three. Kawhi, 3 of 4. Who else? Danny Green, 50%. Patty Mills hit a three. When you see guys like that finding their stroke, and the Rockets, you can't get anything going, Harden seems limited, and you're still able to hang around, I like that. The Rockets were right there for the taking. Unfortunately, I got away from them early in the fourth quarter. Now, I did think there were a couple of shaky calls. When it was a 5-point game entering the fourth quarter, there were two plays very early on that were meaningful. The first possession, it was Jonathan Simmons driving to the rack. Pat Beverly tried to commit a foul 10 feet away from the basket. After the foul, Simmons gathered himself, lifted, dunked, and was given continuation. Literally had time to go down, go up, dunk. The foul was 10 feet away. He was given continuation. The next trip down the floor, that was a 3-point play. The next trip down the floor, Manu Ginobili is grabbed out on the floor, shot clearly after the whistle. Tony Brothers, who was 5 feet away, originally ruled it on the floor, very demonstratively pointed on the floor repeatedly, and they ended up giving him continuation. That was a 5-point swing. Yeah, the Rockets lost by 25, so that's not why they lost. However, it is meaningful. There are certain points differentials in a game that are very meaningful. Is it closer to 5 or is it closer to 10? Is it closer to 10 or is it closer to 15? And those differentials play into the psychological commitment that a team typically has. And so for the Spurs to be able to push that lead from 5 to 10 in the first minute or so of the fourth quarter, I thought that was very significant to them getting a lot of confidence and continuity where they started seeing some shots fall. And the Rockets, it played a role in them thinking, hey, maybe this isn't our night. And it shouldn't be that way. I'm not happy with the lack of effort from the Rockets because clearly, if you're outscored 30-5 over the first 9 or so minutes of the fourth quarter, that's not just talent. Your effort is waning, and that's not good regardless of the situation. However, it's not the same as game one. That's one thing that I'm going to push back on very hard. You're going to hear some folks over the next 2 days, because I know how the media works, say, well, we haven't really learned anything. The Rockets went in a blowout. The Spurs went in a blowout. The point differential in the series is 2 now. No, that's complete bunk. The Rockets blowout, they controlled from minute one. They were up by 30 at the half. They controlled every minute for 48 minutes. This one tonight, in San Antonio, just like game one. By the way, the Rockets won that first game in blowout fashion in San Antonio. The second in San Antonio, too, Harden not being able to buy a bucket. The Spurs were up by 3 with 15 seconds left in the third quarter, with 12 minutes and 15 seconds left in the game. These were nowhere near the same games. Now, I know the margin will seem similar, and that's because the Spurs, they had a level of commitment in the fourth quarter. Once they saw blood, they were fearing for their lives, and they put the pedal down. They pushed. They took every point they could. The Rockets mailed it in a little early. That's not ideal. I get it. I get the frustration, but it is not indicative of the Rockets' effort level for the entire game. They stayed in it. They stayed engaged. Unfortunately, got away from them in the fourth quarter, but these games are not equivalent. And really, I liked what I saw from the Rockets overall. Despite things not going their way, they hung around, gave themselves a chance. Unfortunately, they didn't get the bounces early in the fourth quarter, and things got away from them, and by that point, it seemed to have spiraled out of control. Now, why did the first three quarters, that's why I'm more focused on the first three quarters. The fourth quarter, it is what it is. That's an anomaly. The first three quarters, why were the Spurs leading by a small margin, but leading for the most? And obviously, it goes back to James Harden. 1 of 9 in the first half, 3 of 17 for the game. Did have 10 assists and 7 rebounds. First things first, I do think he was definitely limited by some sort of injury. The good news is that in the second half, I think he got better. I don't think it was the ankle. There's going to be a lot of speculation. We'll see what they say after the game. We saw the grimace in the first quarter. I do think there was some sort of injury component because he started off the game, in my opinion, playing fairly engaged on the defensive end. Then after the grimace, about midway through the first quarter in that timeout, when according to the media there, they were looking to kind of working on his hip. After that, I thought the effort waned a little bit on both ends. He didn't seem to be attacking the rim as much. Had just 6 free throws for the game, and the fouls he did get were from the perimeter. Didn't seem to be probing or going inside as often. Didn't seem to be wanting to take contact. He didn't have the lift he had in game 1. That's something I praised him for in the postgame show the other night. Game 2, maybe it's the ankle, maybe it's all related. That happened in game 3 of the Oklahoma City series. But it looked like, again, something in the midsection. Was it bending over a hip, a back, an oblique, something like that? The good news is that in the second half, I did think he got more aggressive. He hit a 3 in the third quarter. He got more aggressive. It seemed like that stretch, there were some controversial calls. The fans got on him for the 3 that maybe he didn't deserve on Patty Mills. Then LaMarcus Aldridge just elbowed him right in the face. Did not turn out to be flagrant. Then Patty Mills flopped, got an offensive foul that absolutely was not deserved. That seemed to get James mad. Also in the second half, I thought he generally was moving a little better. Maybe they put some ice, heat, whatever it may be at the half. But in the second half, now he still didn't play well. 1 of 9 at the half, 3 of 17. That tells you he was 2 of 8 in the second half. That's not ideal, but I thought he was moving there. The eye test tells me that things were better. Now, always, you have to wait and see how they wake up in the morning. There could be some swelling. We'll see what the ankle is. Any other body part that's injured, the Rockets will just have to play that by ear and watch. But obviously, James is not going to sit out. And by and large, he's been effective even playing through injuries. Some of it's just an off night. We don't want to chalk it up too much injury. Sometimes guys just don't make shots, and that's probably a small component of it, certainly. I just think the injury had some impact because you didn't see him going to the basket nearly as aggressively or getting the lift they did in game 1. Maybe it's the ankle. Maybe it's something else. But there is a day off in between games. He is going to go to the friendly confines of Houston. Whatever the injury is, it seemed to happen. Midway through the first quarter, he kind of had an awkward collision with the basket stand underneath the bucket. They should be able to treat it. He's certainly not going to sit out. It is what it is. Everyone at this point has some sort of injury. It's just about pain management. The Rockets doctors know what they're doing. Flip side, LaMarcus Aldridge. It's obvious he's not 100% healthy either. At this point in the NBA calendar, no one's 100%. You're just trying to have to manage it as best you can. Ryan Anderson late in the third quarter, we saw him kind of brace a fall with the wrist that he entered the Oklahoma City series. We noticed it then because he started putting the wrap on the wrist. At this point, I wouldn't worry that much about it. It's a matter of pain tolerance for him, but really shooting, it sounds counterintuitive. It's the truth. Shooting for an injury like that, I actually don't think it's all that significant of an issue. Now, you might see it be a little more of a factor on the low block in terms of his physicality. I saw him bobble a rebound after he kind of seemed to tweak the hand, went out briefly. But in terms of his value, he's out there to space the floor and hit long threes. I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor for him. I know some folks are going to say that it's a shooting risk, but in terms of how Ryan plays now, spot-up shooter, I don't see that being that big of a deal. And that's the injury component. And the Rockets, the thing is, you can complain about Harden and Anderson's injuries. They're real, but everybody's dealing with some stuff. And the good news for the Rockets, they don't have a player that's out for the series, which I'm pretty sure Tony Parker is after whatever happened to his left leg. So there are no excuses. You've just got to go out there and do a better job of executing. The good news is that in Houston, I really like the Rockets' chances to execute Friday night because really with so many things going wrong in the first 3 quarters tonight, the Rockets were still right there, unfortunately got away from them. One final point I should make, the bench unit, I thought that was a big fall off. I know Eric Gordon was very good in the first half. He struggled in the second half. Lou Williams was not very good, period, just 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting. But really, game 1, one of the things that really impressed me, when both Kawhi and Harden went to the bench early in the second quarter, the Rockets were able to bump the lead, I think it was 11 after the first quarter, to 20-plus, and then it never got under 20 the rest of the game. The flip side, the fourth quarter Wednesday, after the Rockets were down just 5 going to the fourth, of course, it got up to 12, 14 points within a couple of minutes, and by the time Harden came back in, it was too late to stunt that momentum. That's going to be something to watch. Now, I know Pop staggered the minutes, especially in the first half a little bit, to where he had Kawhi out there. You could see the Spurs playing with a sense of desperation. But the Rockets have to get better production from their bench. They did in the first half from Eric, but he waned in the second. Lou Williams never really got it going. Nene was effective offensively, 10 points, 4 of 6 shooting, but he had just one rebound. So those three guys, I thought they were a little bit lacking. And then, of course, the effort. The Rockets as a team had just 32 rebounds to 46 for the Spurs. We talked a lot in the playoffs about the Rockets winning games with effort. You could see it in the glass. They out-rebounded Oklahoma City, a bigger team. They were competitive in game one with the Spurs, a bigger team. Game two, they were dismantled. And quite frankly, the bottom line for this is that the Spurs wanted this game more. They got it. And you just have to hope that when the Rockets get back to Houston and games that, well, they need to take care of business. Because if you're at home in a series like this, any home loss feels very meaningful, that the Rockets pick up the intensity on the defensive end. The Spurs adjusted with Pau Gasol. I thought it worked well for them. Again, 13 rebounds in 29 minutes. Now it's up for the Rockets to figure out what their counter is in terms of trying to get more rebounds and be more competitive. Last thing I'll mention, I haven't done it yet, but the officials, I mentioned very briefly earlier, look, there were a few calls that went the Spurs' way. That's not why San Antonio won the game. And I said at one point, and a few folks acted indignant on Twitter, I mentioned that, well, that's what the NBA wants. Of course it is. I mean, if you don't think the NBA would prefer this to be a 1-1 series than 2-0 Houston going back to Toyota Center with the Rockets in position to sweep, you're crazy. Now, is that saying there's a conspiracy? No, of course not. But it's better for the league. Also, every fan in that arena, every player in a Spurs jersey has a chip on their shoulder. They are playing with desperation. And if you don't think that can kind of filter in a little bit on a 50-50 call, like those two early calls in the fourth quarter that seemed to swing it, those borderline continuations, both went San Antonio's way, including one after it was demonstrably ruled not a continuation by Tony Brothers, you're crazy if you don't think that can seep in. Now, is that a conspiracy? No, because it's human nature and it's going to go both ways. You know what? If the Spurs are up 2-1 going into a game four in Houston, let's say hypothetically the Spurs win Friday night, and yeah, they're up 2-1 going into Sunday's game four, and it's close in the second half. Do I think the Rockets and James Harden are going to get a few calls? Absolutely. That's how it works. It's human nature. The Rockets are going to be desperate. You know, in the back of your mind, maybe it's not even a matter of saying, well, I want to make it a close series. It's a matter of expecting a close series because these are two teams that have been so evenly matched over the course of the year. That's common sense. At the end of the day, it's going to even out. No one, least of all me, is saying it's a conspiracy. There were just a few bad calls, and let's talk about it. And the few bad calls in the game the Spurs desperately need to win went San Antonio's way. Okay, they did. And when the shoe's on the other foot, they're probably going to go Houston's way. There's no conspiracy. There were just a few bad calls that went San Antonio's way. It didn't decide the game, but it certainly contributed in a few key spots to giving the Spurs momentum, and we can talk about it. That's all it is. I would like officials to be better, and when they miss a call, let's talk about it. It's not saying that it's the officials' fault the Rockets lost the game. It's not saying the Spurs didn't deserve the game because the Spurs shot better from the field. They out-rebounded the Rockets. They had more heart. They had more energy. The Spurs were a better team. They deserve to win, and so now it's tied 1-1 going back to Houston. There were just a few bad calls, and just because the Rockets got beat by 25 and started the fourth quarter on a 30-5 run outscored, doesn't mean we can't discuss it. There were a few bad calls. The Rockets got the short end of the stick a few times from that crew led by Tony Brothers, and maybe it'll be the other way in Houston. We'll just have to wait and see. It certainly could be. Definitely not a conspiracy. Definitely no one's working against the Rockets. There were just a few shady calls. We can talk about it, but by and large, that's not the reason. That's why I didn't lead off with it. Spurs are the better team. They deserve to win. Now it's tied at 1, going back to Houston for Friday's Game 3. So with that said, I will leave it right there. Don't know what else to say. Unfortunate loss. Again, hope Harden gets healthy. Did think he looked better in the second half, even though the stat line wasn't all the way there. That's the biggest thing for the Rockets, because really, when you have James Harden scoring 13 points and 3 of 17 shooting in a playoff game, that's just not going to be good enough against anybody, no matter what the opponent is. So get Harden right. Do whatever you can to get him back. About the second half, he did look a little better, so that's encouraging. Hope that Road Ryan becomes Home Ryan, because Ryan definitely kept the Rockets in the game for the first three quarters. And then get back to the elite rebounding team the Rockets were in the first round against Oklahoma City and in game one, because as a team getting out-rebounded 46-32, there was just definitely a higher degree of want to from the Spurs tonight, and that definitely showed in the fourth quarter. Spurs were a more desperate team. They made the keys at the meaningful points, and thus they got this game. So hopefully that dynamic changes heading into Friday's game 3. We'll have to see what happens tomorrow with Tony Parker, but again, based on what we saw of him leaving, I would be stunned if he plays again this series. When you see a guy like that needing to be carried off, I think it's pretty clear it's a significant injury. Spurs are going to have to play without him. It's definitely an advantage for the Rockets, because without Parker playing so well, 8 of 13 shooting, 2 of 2 from 3, maybe the Spurs aren't even leading going to the fourth quarter, and the entire dynamic is different. But I would caution against saying it swings the series, because the Spurs are an extremely deep team. That's why they won 61 games. That's why I think the Spurs' regular season record is inflated a little bit, because they are so deep that they're able to withstand injuries that other teams' rest think that other teams might not be able to. So they do have depth. Patty Mills can take on a bigger role. And there's a lot of heart in that locker room led by Greg Popovich, one of the better head coaches of all time. So they're certainly not going to roll over and feel sorry for themselves the way a few teams might do if they have that kind of injury. So is it helpful to the Rockets? Yes, over five games, absolutely that should be an advantage. Is it something you're going to see a night and day difference in game three on Friday night? I don't know. I think it's one of those things you'll see kind of take a subtle toll on the Spurs as the games pass. I wouldn't necessarily expect it to be a drastic night and day difference once game three tips off on Friday night. Anyway, those are my primary themes, and don't know what else to say, so I will leave it right there. Again, thanks to all of you guys for listening. I know this wasn't the most fun podcast, but if you stuck with me for these 20 minutes, I certainly appreciate you doing so. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast, don't hesitate to let us know. Again, Game 3, Friday night at 8:30, and I look forward to talking with you guys then. For now, have a good evening, enjoy your off day, and well, get ready to yell Friday night in Houston. Let's bring the same atmosphere to Toyota Center that the Spurs did to AT&T Center on Wednesday night.